call to order the Committee of the Whole meeting of Simpsonville City Council for September 24th, 2024. Clerk Clark, can you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Arrear?
Here.
Councilmember Roop?
Here.
Councilmember Williams?
Here.
Councilmember Roche?
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton?
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Here. Please rise as you're able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the August 19th, 2024 minutes of the Committee of the Whole. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as written. Council, I rise to a point of general privilege to read a proclamation for the Simpsonville Garden Club. Whereas, the Simpsonville Garden Club was founded in 1949 with a mission to promote the beauty of our city through the cultivation of gardens, public beautification efforts, and the encouragement of environmental stewardship. And whereas, for 75 years, the Simpsonville Garden Club has been a steadfast pillar of our community, enhancing public spaces, fostering civic pride, and enriching the lives of our citizens by nurturing a shared love for gardening and nature. And whereas the Simpsonville Garden Club's projects have included the beautification of parks, schools, and public buildings, including their role in the landscaping of Simpsonville's public spaces, which contributes to our city's welcoming and vibrant atmosphere. And whereas the members of the Simpsonville Garden Club, both past and present, have demonstrated an unwavering commitment to the environment through educational programs, hands-on service, and partnerships with local organizations to promote sustainability and environmental awareness. And whereas the dedication and passion of the Simpsonville Garden Club have made a lasting impact on the natural beauty of our city, contributing to the health and well-being of our residents and visitors for generations. And whereas the city of Simpsonville is proud to recognize and honor the extraordinary contributions of the Simpsonville Garden Club, celebrating their 75th anniversary as a milestone of community service, environmental advocacy, and civic leadership. Now, therefore, in the city of Simpsonville, South Carolina, October 2024 is proclaimed as the month to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Simpsonville Garden Club. In witness whereof, I have set my hand and caused the seal of the city of Simpsonville to be affixed this 24th day of September in the year of our Lord, 2024. Thank you very much to the Garden Club. You make Simpsonville a better place. If you would pass this down and pass it to Rebecca to take with you. Thank you very much. This time it's item five, our citizen comments. Before we start on citizen comments, let me go over just a couple of things very quickly. We have three people who have signed up for comment. You have standing that's appropriate for speaking to city council. We don't engage in debate or back and forth with people who are making comments. It is simply our chance to hear from you, and we are delighted to do so, and we'll listen attentively, and we are also available outside of council meetings. Our phone numbers and email addresses are posted on the city website, so we do look forward to hearing from you. I use a timer system for making this go. When you are invited up to speak, please speak only from the podium. And Mr. Campbell, will you make sure the microphone is on at the podium? Speak from the podium because we have a microphone there. Please state your name and address and the organization that you're with. And then once you start your comments, that's when your time will start. You have 3 minutes. The light will turn green. When you have 30 seconds remaining, there will be a single tone and the light will turn yellow. And when your time is up at 3 minutes, there will be a double tone and the light will turn red. You don't need to just cut off mid-sentence. You can finish a couple of sentences to complete your thought, but you do need to wrap up your comments, so we stay pretty close to our three-minute rule. So that's how this is going to work. And at this time, I call our first person for public comment, Stephen Carlson.
Good evening, Mayor Shoemaker and City Council members. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak. My name is Stephen Carlson from 1102 Howard Drive with the Center for Community Services. I wanted to introduce myself and tell you about the Center for Community Services and a upcoming partnership that is going to take place in the month of October. So the Center for Community Services, if you're not aware, you're a nonprofit organization. We reside in the old Bryson Elementary School campus on Howard Drive. We currently provide emergency utility assistance and food services. We also have daycare and free medical clinic and WIC services that we provide on site. So what our vision is for the future is that we would be able to provide all the resources necessary for our community members to break down any barriers that are preventing them from living their lives to the fullest potential. So we serve the Golden Strip area, Simpsonville, Malden, and Fountain Inn. And we've been around for 27 years now, and I think one of the greatest barriers that we have had as an organization is getting our name out there and letting the community know that we're here and we're here to stay, and we want to provide our community members with the assistance that they need. So there have been a lot of ups and downs with the organization over its course of almost three decades now. I actually just started with the organization in July of this year. So I'm still getting my feet under me and learning the organization. But one of the ways that we can better serve our community members is through partnerships with like-minded organizations. I don't want to steal the next speaker's thunder, so I will hold the rest of the comments, but in the month of, or the last 2 months, we have given out over 240 boxes of food to our community members, and on average for each month. And for this month, or this year to date, we have assisted with over $39,000 of utility assistance. So we are, the need is certainly here within our community, and we are looking for assistance from our community members and citizens to get our name out there so that we can help more people. So that is all I have, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Next is Dan Weidenbinder. Weidenbinder? Weidenbinder.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for having me. My name is Dan Weidenbinder. I am the Executive Director of Mill Village Ministries, which is at 1186 Pendleton Street in Greenville. And I was invited, really, by my good friend Melissa Sturgis, who resides here in the Simpsonville area. She learned about us and has been a champion and advocate for our organization even before her and her husband relocated here. And so I'm really grateful for their leadership in this community and with our organization. I want to share a little bit about Mill Village, if you're not aware, and our exciting partnership out here in the kind of Simpsonville area that we're excited to see come to fruition. Mill Village started nearly about 10 years ago when I relocated into a former Mill Village just outside of downtown Greenville. I got to know many of my neighbors. I joined the Historic Neighborhood Church, Neighbor Association, and I quickly learned that many of our neighbors in our community suffer getting out of poverty. In fact, Greenville County ranks as one of the toughest places for kids to get out of poverty than anywhere else in the United States. So we have a unique issue here. And one thing that I quickly learned while living in the neighborhood and getting to know many of my neighbors is there's really no silver bullets to pursuing the American dream and uplifting yourself and bettering yourselves. And so Mill Village was born out of this kind of holistic need to provide multifaceted services for our community. We started with a community garden called Mill Village Farms, where we teach youth job and life skills and leadership skills and grow food for our neighbors. And we now launched the Food Share program, which is a bulk produce box program that we distribute affordably priced produce boxes to many of our low-income neighbors that struggle, especially with the cost of healthy food right now, can roughly get $35 to $40 worth of fresh produce for only $10 or $20 cash for only $5 of EBT or SNAP. And so we're excited that we just launched a new site here with Center for Community Services. We also have another site at Hillcrest Hospital. And because we know there's so many families out here in the Simpsonville area that are suffering from healthy food insecurity. We also run a few other programs. We launched a minority business incubator because we saw so many women in our community running side hustles and businesses, and they needed support. They need mentors, they need business training, and they need access to capital. And so we support well over 100 small businesses every year with holistic services to help see their businesses thrive, and some of which come all the way from Simpsonville to participate in this program. We also run Village Engage, which works with the faith community to help mobilize them and educate them about some issues we see and how we can help get them plugged into the work that we're doing. And then the last thing is Village Wrench, which is our community bike shop where we do free bike repair for many of our neighbors. They depend on a bike as their main mode of transportation, as well as for kids. They're using it for recreation, and we run free bike repair sites all across Greenville County and many neighborhoods. And we hope and desire one day we can maybe have one out here in Simpsonville. Again, thank you for your time. Thank you for your leadership in this community. I appreciate your efforts here. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last public commenter is Rebecca Garcia from the Simpsonville Garden Club.
I'm Rebecca Garcia. I live in Simpsonville. I also own Anthony's Pizzeria here in the city of Simpsonville and president of the Garden Club. My address is 234 Sandusky Lane, Simpsonville, South Carolina, 29680. For 75 years, the Garden Club has beautified the city, spreading the love of gardening to residents, joy to those passing through, and educating the future generations. We want to continue to build a strong relationship with the city, community, and schools. We have the Pots on Main, the police station, Veterans Memorial Park, Heritage Park. We have some pots at the Center for Community Services. We also run the hydroponic systems at the Center for Community Services and give the produce back to the food bank. We are installing some new projects as well. We can't begin to share the numerous stories of people who say the pop of color in the Pots on Main have helped us make the decision to move here to Simpsonville. It's made us feel at home. The Garden Club can add value to our city through one, education, like how to amend this red clay so it can actually grow something, or two, to conserve and protect the native plants and wildlife. We can reduce damage caused by deforestation with all the new communities coming here. And three, we can beautify by planting gardens in pots, in acres of land, in small spaces to keep that hometown feeling in a growing city. We realize that growth is needed, it is imminent, but it doesn't mean abandoning our southern charm, our small town feel, and embedding everything in concrete. Let's plan together to beautify and protect our native plants and wildlife so that we can continue to have fresh water, breathable air, and a family-friendly environment. Simpsonville Garden Club is currently working with community relations here at city offices to build partnerships, and we would like your help in building a stronger working relationship with the city, local businesses, and local schools like Hillcrest. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is item 6A, our financial report from Christine Farino, our finance director.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few highlights from the August financial report. General fund revenues for August were $337,000 with a year-to-date total of $559,000. August expenses were $3.9 million, which include the municipal complex expenses. Year-to-date expenditures were $7.3 million. Sewer fund revenues for August are $194,000. With a year-to-date total of $392,000. August expenditures for the sewer fund are $56,000, with a year-to-date total of $107,000. The hospitality accommodation revenues for August are $418,000, with a year-to-date total of $558,000. August expenditures were $98,000 and a year-to-date total of $672,000. The Public Works Enterprise Fund revenues for August were $87,000, with a year-to-date total of $16,000. August expenses were $17,000, with a year-to-date total of $165,000. I'd answer any questions you may have.
Counsel? Thank you, Director Farina.
Thank you.
Next is our City Administrator Report from Diana Gracely, City Administrator. Administrator Gracely.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. You have my complete report, and I just want to hit some highlights for you and then answer any questions that you may have. The municipal complex, as you can see, is in its final stages. Our move date is still scheduled for November 1st and November 4th, with our first day open to the public on November 5th. You can see the construction fencing has come down along Curtis, and they continue to work on interior finishes. The downtown revitalization and streetscape project is still down at DHEC for land disturbance permitting. I did touch base this week with our civil engineer to see if any progress had been made with that. And his report was that thus far DHEC has not asked for additional information, which could be a good sign. I hope it doesn't mean that they haven't started reviewing our plans yet. That would be a bad sign. With regard to the Swan Private Trail, we have a meeting scheduled tomorrow with the civil engineers that will be doing the survey work and preparing construction documents. As I believe you are aware, I think I've reported previously, Ms. Carter has worked on an application for a federal grant to help pay for the trail extension, and we're still waiting on notification of a grant award there. We feel optimistic, but of course won't know until we get that notification. The gymnasium renovation is complete. We are now referring to that space as Academy Hall, so we're trying to get away from gymnasium. The dedication ceremony for that, please mark your calendars, is October 10th at 4 o'clock. The mayor will be out of town, but Mayor Pro Tem Roche will give some remarks at that dedication, and we hope you can all be there, not only to represent council, but also just to see what a beautiful space we've created with that renovation. The pump track at Alder Park, most of you were at the dedication ceremony for that last week, which went amazingly well. And I know there were comments that gave shout outs to everybody involved, but once again, I think it's really important to emphasize that while there was an initial expenditure that council authorized for the purchase of the pump track, most of everything else that you saw, the transformation you saw out there, was done in-house by staff with their hands and their hard work at very, very minimal cost to the city. If you were coming in the side entrance, you probably noticed we stole a lot of the shrubs and plants out there and repurposed them at Alder Park. So just a huge shout out to Charlene Carter for taking this and running with it. Several months ago, Charlene had spearheaded an effort through Hands on Marieville Day to do some entrance improvements to the public cemetery on Academy Street Extension, and it's beautiful and it looks wonderful. And so after council authorized the purchase of the pump track and we decided to put it at Alder Park, I asked her, do you think you could do a little sprucing up of the entrance to Alder Park? And she went well above and beyond what I had asked, and it's just amazingly beautiful. And she did that with the help of Public Works. I know Pete was very involved in that with Parks and Recreation. They were, you know, front and center on getting the track usable after Public Works moved it over to the space. The police department donated bikes that got raffled off and helmets, which all the people in attendance loved. and, you know, Justin promoting it and just everybody coming together. And I hope I haven't left anybody out. Oh, the fire department sent an engine out there to a pumper to clean off the track because it got muddy during the course of installation. So just everybody pulled together. It was truly a group effort. And I know that all of the departments are very proud of that. You know, it belongs to public or to Parks and Rec now because it's in one of their parks, but it really belongs to the whole community. And I think staff has taken great pride in making sure that that looked top notch when we invited the public to see it for the first time. A few highlights from cultural arts and events. We're starting to get in our busy season now with music, dance, theater coming into the Arts Center. I've provided you with a list through December, and that's very exciting. We've got a couple of theatrical productions that Clark Nesbitt's doing, but also Cornerstone Ballet is doing the Nutcracker again. The Greenville Shakespeare Company is doing It's a Wonderful Life during the month of December. Heartworks Theater is doing a Christmas concert. Warehouse Theater is doing a matinee performance of Hamlet. So we're really starting to see a lot of activity in the auditorium over there, and we're excited about that, along with new art exhibits in the gallery space every 4 to 6 weeks. And those have been very successful lately. I know the last artist that was there, the last group, sold at least 11 pieces that I'm aware of. And then the artist who just had her exhibit opening on Thursday, we couldn't go because we were at Alder Park, sold 7 pieces that night. So they're seeing a lot of success, and we're really happy. That's what we had all envisioned for that space. And that's really all I wanted to highlight. If you have any questions, I'll answer those.
Council? Councilmember Root.
Could you give us an update on the GTA? Do you know anything?
So the last update that we had was that Greenville County did not want any changes to the intergovernmental agreement that would impact them. So the attorneys are trying to figure out how to include Simpsonville and Malden without creating changes for Greenville County, because they were very resistant to any changes.
Do you mean Greenville City or Greenville
County? Greenville County. The city as well, but predominantly I think this was the county, at the county's request. And now the county is down to county attorneys who have retired in the last few weeks. So, you know, getting that final document in front of them and getting approved, I think our attorney has made comments that represent us and Malden. So as soon as we have an intergovernmental agreement in hand, there will be an appointment to the board of one of you, and then we can start talking about, I know you all discuss potential route changes. Those discussions can move forward at that point. Just understand that, you know, the amount that we contribute to GTA is based on the existing route. And so if we do want to expand or change the route, it could have some impact on our share of that local contribution. So that's where we are, still sort of in a holding pattern, waiting on the attorneys to all weigh in.
So I think we passed this in, was it February?
It was earlier this year. We did it outside of the budget. You know, it wasn't technically passed until it was included as an allocation in the budget. They've not requested any payment from us.
So at this point, that's where my concern lies. They're still running the route. Are they going to, by the way, there's a wasp in here just in case somebody gets done. I digress. So are they running? Here's my concern. Are they going to say, all right, well, we ran this route in good faith and we're going to get paid, and they're going to want to prorate these months that they've been running this, or are we going to start paying once everything's finalized and then start paying them? And then is it 12 months because we passed a 12-month contract? Is it going to be prorated? Does it month one start here? We're going to have to talk about it in next year's budget. So I'm just confused on the timing. Do you know any of that?
All I know is that agreement is the main factor that's holding up our appointment on the board. because they have to change the makeup of the board through changes to not only the intergovernmental agreement, but their own bylaws. And so that's step one. And there will be more to learn once those things have been approved and we've signed that agreement, which is probably why we've not been invoiced yet, because we've not signed any type of agreement. To this day, you all made the allocation, but we've not signed any agreement that would hold the city to any level of contribution other than our word. So that's why we've not been invoiced yet.
Okay. All right, well, we'll have to keep our eye on that. I'm worried they're going to say, well, you guys owe us the last 8 months, and we're going to have to write a check for 8 months' work rather than divvying it up over a month. It's going to maybe throw us off a little bit.
No, that wouldn't. I mean, we have considerable funds in our fund balance, so whether we pay it in monthly increments or once a year, it's not going to affect our budget.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Councilman Miller?
I guess just for clarification, what's Greenville County's issue? What change are they is delaying this? It sounds like a pretty straightforward legal process. Either it can or can't be done. And if it can be done, I'm not sure what's the pushback from the county on this agreement? What's it going to change for them?
I don't know the specifics. I just know that what got passed on to me through email. And I can share that with you all. I'll go and search the last email that I got from GTA about those concerns, and I'll forward it out to all of you. But they just did not want to change the intergovernmental agreement that they are currently under with operating the bus system.
Yeah, I guess part, thank you. I guess part two is comment you made about the cost possibly going up by moving around bus stops. That's the first I've ever heard of that. When I presented that to them and to everyone else, they never mentioned that being part of what could or couldn't happen, let's just say, next year.
If it didn't lengthen the route, then it probably would not affect the bottom line. It's if the route gets expanded, it would lengthen.
I'd be interested to see what their formula is for determining, one, how much we need to pay this time, and then how they need to apply. What are they going to do? We added 4 extra miles to our bus, so this money goes up to this amount. That'll be interesting to see, because I've never heard that they may come back and ask for more money because we move some stops around.
Well, if it impacts the route and the cost to deliver that specific route, then, the onus is now on Simpsonville and Malden to pay the local share of that particular route, 601. Greenville City and Greenville County are no longer paying the local share of that. So we're paying everything that the federal funding and the state funding does not cover for Route 601. And so if anything changes in Route 601 at our request, then it could affect the amount. I don't know. I mean, if we're changing stops and it doesn't lengthen, I don't know that it would. I just basically at this point, I don't know what I don't know until we have this agreement in front of us, council approves the agreement, and we have an appointee on the board, and then those discussions can start as far as the route or proposed route changes go.
I guess my concern is even with representation, we're one vote, even if we get Malden to ally with us, we're 2 votes, is that then we'll get dictated to how much our share is versus even having a voice in it.
The share is by formula.
Yeah, well, they get back to the point. Yeah, I'd love to know what that looks like and how, and again, who determines the formula and the calculations, and that's when we need to have a voice in that.
I think the federal funding for transit dictates exactly what that formula is. I don't think there's any room for subjectivity with that. I think it's all, very, I don't want to say scientific, it's not really science, but it is very specific to what the federal rules require.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yes, sir, thank you. Regarding new City Hall, other than the drive entrances for the fire department and other driveways in there, is this new sidewalk going to be a part of that, or is that going to be part of the streetscape plan?
That has been really complicated, and we knew going into this with two separate projects, there's a lot of moving parts with this project, not only on the municipal complex site itself, which included all the site work, stormwater, park improvements, the three buildings, two of which we're paying for, one of which the county's paying for, just so many different components coming together. And that's been part of the, you know, how much work can we include in Edifice's scope to get the building looking like it's open to the public and ready to go without doing work along the sidewalk on Curtis Street that would then have to be torn up as part of the streetscape. Because what we don't want to do is waste money on pouring concrete that would then have to be ripped out when the streetscape finally gets started. There is a portion of the what we refer to as the meandering sidewalk that's going to be the 12-foot wide sidewalk that starts basically at Head Street along First Baptist property all the way down to the municipal complex. There's a guy wire right now for a Duke Energy pole that is preventing them from pouring the rest of that. So I know that particularly looks really incomplete. Duke is scheduled to come move that guy. They have them. It's difficult to get them to stick to that schedule. But they know that how critical it is that they come and get that moved. In fact, I think that was being done today. I won't know until I drive by there. But that way the rest of that concrete can get poured. So then we have a completed look along the front of the building that does include that 12-foot path. It may not be part of the sidewalk that accompanies the street, but at least, you know, the fencing's gone now. People will be able to use that sidewalk. We also have our street lights that will belong to the city that are part of the streetscape project. We ordered 18 of those that will be part of this project along Curtis and Academy. Those should be getting installed as part of, they're part of Edifice's contract. We owner supplied those lights, we ordered them ourselves, but which will give everybody a sneak peek at what our street lights are going to look like when the streetscape does get done. I have another OEC meeting on Thursday, and those are the questions I'm going to ask. You know, when are these city streetlights going to be installed?
I guess my concern, I know you tried to address it, but walk that sidewalk many times, and if you leave that apartment complex and head west, it's not.
It's in terrible shape.
It is. And I just thought it'd be not the best look if we didn't have some stuff. And I get that new curb and gutter and all the storm drainage that's associated with the street probably presents that from a cost standpoint, but I think it'd be beneficial if we at least try to clean it up so it's walkable. And the next question is, I know that I've asked about this before, about a crosswalk, and you said that down from Poinsettia Drive is going to be a crosswalk. But that wouldn't be until, I'm assuming, until streetscape, which could be many, many months from now. Is there a possibility that we could at least get striped crosswalk and signage there temporarily? Because once that park opens up, there's going to be a flood of people wanting to get over there. Yeah. And not only just Poinsettia, but all the neighborhoods that are adjacent to that.
We'll have to get an encouragement permit from DOT to do that because East Curtis belongs to them. West Curtis is ours, so we can control what happens there, but we can't control what happens on East Curtis without their permission. But, you know, they're going to want to make sure that people are getting across that street safely, too. So we will look into that for sure.
Okay.
It also impacts the church because the church, you know, hires a police officer out there on Sunday mornings for three different services to make sure that their worshipers get from their extra parking across the street over to the church property. So it's going to help everybody, not just people coming to the municipal complex for sporting events or for city council meetings, but everybody.
Okay, thank you. I know it's complicated, but I'm looking into the future of that building opening up and it being the sidewalk and curb, et cetera, is in disrepair.
Yes.
Councilmember Roche.
I couldn't remember. It was asked today if any of the new play equipment will be wheelchair accessible.
Yes, it is. ADA. The entire play area is accessible. The zip line has an ADA accessible seat because it's a double zip line now, it's not just one. And then the swing set has two accessible seats on it. And a lot of the play elements in the playground itself are either sensory or, you know, don't require physical mobility to use those components. So it's going to be fabulous. I can't wait for you all to see it. It truly is an amazing play space.
So I think what she specifically wanted to know is if we had a wheelchair swing.
We do not have a wheelchair swing. No.
Thank you.
I just want to go back to your comments about the pump track and Alder Park, mm-hmm. and specifically say again how much I want to thank the council members who were involved in that, Administrator Gracely, Charlene, every department that's involved in it. The comment is that you've taken a relatively minor dollar investment in the pump track and leveraged that into something that is so, so much more. And I just thank you. I really, really appreciate how good Alder Park looks now. So thank you again. Councilor Hutchings.
I'd like to add something. I too want to thank everyone for the teamwork and the effort that went into this. This has probably been the most positive thing we've had in the area in years, and just I'm getting feedback constantly from it now with parents of children who came and enjoyed it, and others that said that they wish they had been there, that they didn't realize it was happening and they want to go come later. But one thing that's concerning me a little bit, a lot of the kids in the neighborhood come down past my house to get to the park. And I'm seeing more and more kids now walking in the streets, because we don't have sidewalks, with bikes and helmets and so forth. I know where they're going. They're going down to the park for that. I'm a little concerned now that traffic on Alder may be a problem. Maybe it's an issue. Is there any way we could maybe just monitor that for a while until we see what kind of issues might be there? I just feel like that a lot of people who are not used to having kids walking up down the street like that may be used to going a little too fast through that area. So that's my concern.
We will, we're always asking our police department to gauge certain areas and help us where extra enforcement might be needed or extra eyes. And I'm sure that Chief Hanshaw would be willing to at least in short term keep some additional patrols over there, especially at peak times, you know, after school hours, Saturday mornings, that kind of thing, just to try to keep the traffic a little more under control and keep an eye out for the children on their bikes and on foot.
Right. Council, anything more for Administrator Gracely? Thank you, Ms. Gracely.
You're welcome.
Each of our departments is represented tonight, either by the department head being here or their representative. Do we have any comments or questions from council for any of the other departments? Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yeah, this is a comment not only for Public Works, but council itself. So I held part of the Point City Community Club board meeting last night, and to a person, everybody was extremely thankful that we voted and put in the 20 mile an hour speed limits in the neighborhood. It's gone over really well. And from them, I just say we appreciate council voting on that and Public Works putting in that and new stop signs as well. So thank you.
Council? Further? All right, I thank all of you department representatives for being here. You're welcome to stay, but if you have no interest, you are also excused at this time. Thank you for coming. Next, we move on to our business items. We only have one, and as always, at a committee of the whole, the items that are before us are what we're deciding on putting on the business agenda or not. So a vote tonight is simply to advance an item or not advance an item to the business agenda. Item 7A, Selection Committee Recommendation for Insurance Brokerage. Administrator Gracely, will you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. We put an RFP out several months ago. I think it went out in late June with proposals due in early August. And that was, we put that in SKIBO, so it was available for anyone who looks on the state procurement site for this particular service. Several years ago, we did this. It's important to do these RFPs routinely every 4 to 5 years to make sure that we're getting the best representation from these vendors who, you know, whether it's insurance brokerage, audit firms, whatever, professional services. We did that. Multiple submittals came in. In the meantime, while those submittals were coming in, I had asked the mayor to appoint a committee that would review the submittals, narrow them down, do interviews with the top, however many firms it ended up being, and then provide a recommendation to City Council. And so that selection committee was Mayor Shoemaker, Mayor Pro Tem Roche, and Councilmember O'Rear, and along with the Human Resources Director and myself. And so the five of us met early to mid-August, reviewed the submittals, narrowed those down to three firms to interview. Those interviews were conducted later that following week. Scoring sheets were given to each member of the selection committee, and then those were tallied, and now the committee has a recommendation for council, which you as a body will vote on at the business meeting next month.
Thank you. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve the selection committee recommendation for the insurance brokerage.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed, signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. That concludes our business for this evening. If there are no objections from council, we will stand adjourned.